Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to podcast number 84. We're talking about Bible study tools today as we continue on with our Gracebook series. We have just a few more weeks left of the Gracebook series. We'll be talking, two more episodes, and then the last one will be October, the second Monday in October will be the last one, and we will wrap up everything by telling you how to put all this together. And I hope that this series has been an encouragement for you and a real motivator in your life, and we're not done yet. We still have a little bit ways to go. So we finished talking about three levels of Bible study, and today I wanted to just talk about some tools that you might want to have on hand to study. And I know when people think about Bible study, they often think of complicated reference materials and hours and hours of study. And as we explained the past 3 weeks, that really the time that you spent studying can be spread out over days. And so if you want to dig deeper into a passage, you just stay there a little longer. You don't have to set aside big chunks of time to study God's Word. But I'm also going to reassure you that you don't have to buy a lot of materials to study God's Word either. There are some things I think that you'll find helpful, but the vast majority of what you think you need in your head or what people might have told you you need is probably not true. There are two basics that I'm going to recommend and talk about today. I'm going to give you a couple extra things that might be a help to you, and then we're just going to spend a couple seconds talking about some digital help that you can find online and through apps on your phone or tablet. For the basics, the number one thing I think that everybody could find helpful is having a dictionary. Having a dictionary nearby that you can look up words that you don't understand. Oftentimes, the more modern translations will have passages that are very easy to understand, and you won't need to look a single word up. But then you'll get into a book maybe like Numbers or Isaiah or an Old Testament book, and there might be terms that you're unfamiliar with. You generally don't need a complicated or several volume Bible dictionary to look those words up. The words that you're going to find in your Bible are all generally in the dictionary. They're not going to give you a real fleshed out understanding of them and how they're used in other places or anything like that. They're going to strictly give you what the definition of the word is, and that's a great place to start. The other basic tool that I would recommend that you get is a good study Bible. And this would be an investment because study Bibles can be quite expensive depending on the cover you choose and how you want them to look and what size. Sometimes study Bibles pack so much information in them that they become really huge, so that will eat into the cost as well, especially if you're getting something that's made well, that's leather, good leather, and that's getting harder and harder to find these days. But I would say that a good study Bible is worth the investment. You should plan to spend at least $50 or thereabouts on a good study Bible, and it can go up much more after that. Once again, depending on especially your cover and how the Bible is made. A good study Bible will give you more tools than I think people realize. People tend to think that they need a lot of books to be able to understand God's Word, but the truth is that a study Bible has lots of things to point you in the right direction and help you find the answers for yourself. So it's not like you're just reading a commentary and you're getting what the author of the commentary sees, but a lot of the things that are in study guides kind of give you the tools that you need to figure out what you see for yourself. And so when we study with a study Bible, there's a lot of different options that we have. a lot of different things in there, and they will vary depending on the Bible that you choose. I personally would recommend the ESV Study Bible. I think that's a very good quality study Bible. But there's also good ones out there in lots of different translations. What you'll find in most of them is that they will have some kind of introductory material in front of each book. They'll tell you who wrote it. They'll tell you when it was written. They'll tell you who they were writing to and why. They'll tell you what was going on culturally in the area. They'll address problems that the author was discussing. They'll also tell you a little bit about the time period that it's written in and what is going on in other parts of the world. They'll give you an outline of the book, and they'll give you the specific themes, and many of them will give you things to look for. When you're reading this book, you'll want to pay attention to these certain things because you'll find them frequently being mentioned in this section. So those are all good things to read before you start a book of the Bible. They help you understand before you start reading it. They give you a little bit of a scope and a framework as you study, and you begin to, if you knew that there was a certain problem that this epistle was written to address, then as you come across things, it will make sense to you why he's even talking about this random thing that seems like it doesn't make sense in light of everything else he's talking about. But if you know the problem, then everything fits together nicely. So finding out that information ahead of time is very helpful. Study Bibles will give you all of that, and you can read that before you jump into studying. Study Bibles also help you in the middle of the study. If you're reading a verse and it doesn't make sense to you, oftentimes you can go to the notes in the bottom of the Bible, and it will give you a little bit of an idea of what the verse is talking about. It will clarify a term maybe that you might be unfamiliar with, or it might give you a little understanding about how that verse relates to the verses around it. Or it may point you in the direction of something used in a different book of the Bible and draw your attention to something that helps you make that verse, helps it make more sense to you. So they help you as you're studying. And then they also help you kind of after you've read a passage and you want to start digging into what that passage means. They have tools like a concordance. They have cross-references. They have study notes in little graphs and charts throughout the Bible. Some of them, if you're reading a passage and Paul will say something like, I pray that God would help you understand the love that he has for you. And then over in a little sidebar, you might see what Paul prays for the believers. And you'll see a whole list of verses that Paul uses that same opening sentence, I pray that God would. And then you can go and look all those up just from the little chart on the side. There's often little places to take you deeper into study if you were to read this note and it would say this verse is also talking about the same thing, and it would lead you to a different book of the Bible, or maybe that author has written about it somewhere else. And those things help you as you're looking at the passage and trying to determine where you're going to dig in, how deep you're going to go. Well, this is a good spot. This right here tells me there's something else going on. The cross-references are helpful because they show you where the words are used in other places. We're going to talk about word usage in just a minute. It's one of my favorite things to do when I study the Bible is to look up words and discover what they really mean and what the underlying meaning of them was for the people who would have been the recipients of the letter or who would have written the historical account that we read in the Bible. A good study Bible is going to give you all of these things, but in addition to those, it was also going to have a lot of other things tucked away in the back. Many of them have articles that help explain complicated processes or concepts that are in the Bible. You may find articles on what is sanctification, or what does it mean when what does the resurrection mean for us today? You'll see many of these kinds of little articles tucked away, written by Bible scholars in a very accessible format for you to understand. You'll also see charts. Many Bibles will have maybe a list of the parables, and it will show you every passage that they're listed in. If Matthew and Mark both included it, you'll see those references there. You'll also find charts of the miracles of Jesus or various things that happened in the Old Testament, like a list of the kings of each of the of the kingdoms. Sometimes you'll see timelines. Some Bibles include timelines to give you a good idea of where books are overlapping. This particular book happened at the same time as this book, or this king that was in this book was king at a time that this book over here by this prophet was written. And so those things are all very helpful, and you'll find lots of those in the back sections of a study Bible. Study Bibles also contain reading plans so that you can follow along and read in a cohesive order of God's Word. Some of them are very complex plans, having you jump all over the Bible. Others are very just common, check the box off when you read each chapter type of plans. We'll be talking more about reading plans next week, but if you have a study Bible and it has a couple good ones in there, why not give those a try to give you a little structure to your time in God's Word? Those are the basics, a study Bible and a dictionary. And if you have those two things, I think you're good. Now, if you want to go a little further, if you want to have maybe a more visual approach, there's one extra I would encourage you to do, and that is to get either an illustrated commentary or an illustrated dictionary. And Zondervan has an illustrated Bible commentary and also an illustrated Bible dictionary. There's a Baker illustrated Bible commentary that's really good. What's nice about these illustrated Bible commentaries is it gives you a little commentary into the passage. So it often goes a little deeper than your Bible, your study Bible can. Those notes that are in the bottom of your study Bible are usually very brief. They kind of give you the short answer. If you want to go a little deeper and want to get into the more of the nuance of what the verse is talking about, then going a little deeper with a commentary is helpful. What's nice about the illustrated commentaries is if it's talking about a location or something that a person even, oftentimes you'll see photographs that can give you a clue as to what's going on and make it just a little more visual than you would with just words. Some people, I think more and more in our culture, we're becoming the type that likes to see it. I have to laugh every time my friends get together to play a game. Instead of just reading the instructions, they want to watch a YouTube video that shows them how to play it. And I'm a writer. I love words. And I'm a speaker. I love to say words. And I'm always like, why are they watching pictures when we could just read the instructions and be done with it? But we're turning into a visual culture. And for that reason, I would recommend that if you're going to get a good commentary, I would recommend one that has some illustrations and some photos in it to help you out. I would choose a one or two volume commentary. I don't think that that you would necessarily benefit from a bigger commentary. You can buy entire commentaries where several books are in one book, and then other books are complete in and of themselves. So it might be a 36 volume commentary that contains all 66 books of the Bible. I think that is probably a bit much. I don't use those myself much unless there's something that I'm going to be presenting that I really want to get a handle on. And even then, I've never read an entire commentary. I just go to the passage that I'm looking at. I tend to borrow them from my pastor or from some teacher friends of mine and just kind of go through what they have when I need something deeper. Most usually, I just use a one-volume commentary that I have in some Bible software that I have. Some of the commentaries will come in two volumes where Old Testament is in one and New Testament is another. And those are fine too, but I wouldn't get beyond two volumes. I think once you go that far, there's just a wealth of information in there you're just not going to get to, and it's probably not worth the expense. Unless you're preaching, in which case you should probably own a lot of commentaries. Another thing that would help you as an extra is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. This is where you look up words. This is something that when I learned how to do this, Bible study completely changed for me. My love of words led me down a path where I just devoured looking up words in the concordance. If you've ever seen a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's exhausting to carry around. It's pretty big. It's not something you would take to the coffee shop with you. It's something you would definitely want to have just in your study or sitting in your Bible study area or office or wherever that you'd be studying God's Word. What you do is you look up the word that you want to find the definition of, and it gives you a couple of things. It gives you the Hebrew or Greek number, all the words that are in the Hebrew and Greek versions of the Bible have been given numbers, and so it will give you that Greek number or Hebrew number, depending on if you're the Old or New Testament. And you could take that number and look it up in the back section, and you could get a definition for that number. And it would tell you how that word is used in the Bible and if there are other words that are translated differently. So let's say that word is H697. That word might be translated into four different English words in different parts of the Bible. So you get an idea of how else that word is used. Sometimes that gives you some nuance to understand what the word is talking about. Also, when you first look it up in the front section of the concordance, in addition to giving you the key number, the Greek or Hebrew number, it also will tell you where that word is used in other places of the Bible. And usually it will have two or three words to kind of get you, so you can understand the flow of what the sentence is about, and then it'll give you the reference so that you can go look it up. Now, this is a lot of looking up, so you're going to be jumping around a lot, and I'm going to show you an easier way to do that when I talk to you about some digital extras. But I do believe that a concordance is one of those things that makes Bible study fun. For me, jumping around, trying to find what the word means and how it's used and reading it used other places are certainly just the little things that make Bible study enjoyable to me because I love words. If you have a good study Bible, you can kind of get a feeling for this without having the Greek or the Hebrew. Remember that cross-references are actually tied to a word in the Bible. So you'll see the little letters or numbers after a word in your study Bible, and either along the bottom or to the right or the left or maybe in the center column, you'll see those little letters or numbers, and there'll be verses after them. All of those verses are verses that use that same Hebrew or Greek word. So you kind of get an ability to look up some other uses of that word. But to get to the actual Greek or Hebrew definition of that word, you would have to use a concordance to do that. The Strong's Concordance has been around forever. It's available for lots of different Bible translations, and it's certainly something that I think you would find useful, but it's an extra. If you have your study Bible and you're studying and you're praying before you study and you're really spending time diligently in God's Word, I don't believe that it's something that you need to understand the Bible. I think it's just something that gives it an extra little level of enjoyment to the process. Now, for those of you that would prefer to have something digital, let me just say that one of the best things that you can do is go to the site blueletterbible.org. This Blue Letter Bible site allows you to study Greek and Hebrew without having a concordance, and it also has some other options for study as well. Just to kind of give you an example of how it works, and I can't show you in the podcast, but I do want to, at the very least, just kind of give you a little overview as to how to use it. The site is very simple. When you go to it, you can just type in the reference of the verse that you're studying, and along the, once you hit enter and that verse comes up, you'll notice that on the left-hand side is a little blue box, and it's labeled Tools. And when you click on that box and you open it up, you will see that it gives you a bunch of options. There are dictionaries that you can click on. There are commentaries. There are a list of cross-references and other translations and some miscellaneous type of things that are in there. All of those just have all of the options that you can choose. So when you open like dictionaries, it will have every dictionary that has an entry for Isaiah 29:14. And you can click on any of those and open those up and take a look at them. What I want to point out, though, is that the very first tab on there is an interlinear. And what that's doing is it's showing you the original language. And then for every word in that verse, it is giving you the original language number, the Strong's number that we talked about, the Hebrew or Greek number, and then it's kind of giving you a pronunciation of the word, as well as a picture of how you say it. So there's actually an audio button next to each word that's in the verse, and you can click on that and you can hear how the word should sound, which I think is really helpful for those of you that are that don't know Hebrew or Greek. So you can get the root form of the word and how to pronounce it, and you can get the Strong's definition. So just to give you a little example of how this works, I'm in Isaiah 29:14, which was our scripture writing for today. And as I was writing it out, verses 13 and 14 in Isaiah 29 is a bit of a judgment on the people. God is saying that the people say the right things, but their hearts are far from me and they're not doing the right things. And that all of their knowledge of me is just what they've been taught. They haven't really put their heart into it and really believed it. And so he pronounces this judgment on them, and he says he will do wonderful things with this people, wonders upon wonders. And then he says the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. So he's talking about a judgment, but he's talking about wonderful things. And that made me think that maybe our English definition and the way we use the word wonderful today isn't quite what this verse is getting at. And so this is where you would look this verse up. So if we looked it up in the Blue Letter Bible and clicked on Tools, under Interlinear, we would scroll down and find the word that matches wonderful or wonder upon wonder. Now, keep in mind that the Blue Letter Bible doesn't own the rights to every version of Strong's with every word. They own the King James and the New American Standard, and I think the Holman Bible. So based on what translation you look the verse up in, it chooses the closest one and shows it for you. So for the ESV, that would be the New American Standard. And the New American Standard translates that word marvelously. But it's pretty easy for me to tell that that's what the word is because the words are all put in order. So I can just scroll down and then I get to the part where he says wonderful things. And in this instance, the NASB translates that deal marvelously. That word marvelously is also used for the word wondrously and wonder upon wonder and marvelous. It's all the same Hebrew word, and the number is H6381. When you click on the number, it's just a little hyperlink. When you click on it, it opens up the Strong's lexicon listing for that. And you can see how else it's translated all throughout the Old Testament in this case, because it's a Hebrew word, so it's being used in the Old Testament. But what is interesting is it's the definition. It has four different parts to its definition. But when you read over it, it's the idea that this is something that's beyond someone else's power to do. It's something difficult to do or to understand. It is to be extraordinary to the place of difficult. It's to show oneself able to do difficult things. So when we go back to the verse, and he's talking about this idea that he's going to do wonderful things with his people and bring them wonder upon wonder. What he's talking about is he's going to prove who he is to them by doing things that they can't explain and that they do not understand, that is beyond their ability to do. This isn't just that, you know, he's pronouncing judgment on them, but yet he's going to do these great, awesome things and these fun things. What he's going to do is he's going to reveal the reason they should be fearing him. And it's not because a teacher told them to do so. It's because he is a God who can do things they cannot. And he is a God who has a power that they could never hope to have. And he is a God that is beyond their ability to understand. And so they must trust him and obey him. Because that is what you do in the face of something so much greater than you. So understanding and looking up that word gave us a good understanding of what that verse is actually talking about. If you were to read that without looking it up, you might wonder, why in the world is he giving them some kind of reward in the verse that's talking about judgment? But you understand that it's not a judgment. It's a lesson. He's teaching them something. And all of that was found in just a couple of seconds by using the tool section of Blue Letter Bible. You can do that for each verse. Each verse right next to it has its own little tool section that will drop down and open up and show you the word for every one and give you the pronunciation in the Greek or the Hebrew for each of those words. They also have, like as I said, you can look up the cross references and commentaries and dictionaries there as well. I think the Blue Letter Bible is a site that everyone should have bookmarked and visit often in Bible study, especially for those that don't have a lot of other reference materials. I think you'll find that there's more than enough there to keep you going for a long time. Bible Gateway also has reference materials, BibleGateway.com, some of which are free, but many of which they want you to pay for. I would kind of discourage people against paying for apps and for stuff in an app where you're tied to that app that isn't comprehensive. So Bible Gateway is going to have some things, but you're not going to be able to get everything that you might want if you're going to start a digital collection. You're not going to be able to get it all through Bible Gateway. You're better off going to more formal Bible study software that you can get. The two biggest ones are Logos and Accordance Bible software. I would encourage you, if you're willing to spend some money digitally to establish a collection of Bible study reference materials, I would say avoid buying an app that allows you to buy this one study Bible or this one or two or three concordances. Because then if you want something different, you're going to have a different app for that. And then before long, you're going to end up with six or eight different apps you're scrolling through trying to study. What I would encourage you to do instead, if that's something that appeals to you and Bible study is something that maybe has taken hold of you and you really want to dig deeper, something like Logos or Accordance has massive inventories of books, more things than you could imagine. Now, they will be expensive. They generally start out, a lot of the collections start out around maybe $250 or so for a basic collection, but that's going to be a wealth of material. It's going to be a huge amount of material, probably thousands of dollars worth of books if you purchase them in hardback at a bookstore. And that's kind of where you start, and then you can add collections as you go of things that you would like to learn or discover or study, and you can just continually add into this one program instead of having a bunch of different apps with different things that is hard to keep track of and scroll together. The other nice thing about Logos or Accordance, if you're looking for a Bible study software that can grow with you, is that they all work well with each other. You can do a search and it will search all of your materials that you own. And so you can find things and bookmark things, and it's very customizable. I use Accordance. I used Logos years ago when I got my Mac. I went to Accordance and I've really, really loved it. And it's one of those things I find that the more I'm willing to use it and the more I'm willing to dig into it, the more I find. I would encourage you, if this is something that's really taken a hold of you and you're studying and you're looking for resources to go deeper, you won't find anything better, I think, for the money. But it is an investment, so you just be aware of that going into it, that you're going to need to put down a little bit of cash to get started. Both Logos and Accordance do have smartphone apps that will sync to what you've already purchased in the program, so you don't have to have two separate things going. You don't have to buy an app and then a desktop version. Once you own the materials in their system, they're available to you regardless of what tablets or phones or laptops you put them on. Those materials are yours to use. I want to go back and just say that I don't want you to jump into a bunch of resources before you've really had a chance to get the skills of Bible study practiced. So I would say to get a dictionary and a good study Bible, and those two things, and I would encourage you just to use those for a while. As you become more skilled at that, as you kind of get to know your study Bible and what it offers you, then you can add in maybe a commentary or a concordance, or maybe just jump onto the blueletterbible.org site and dig a little deeper there. Approach Bible study as kind of levels and layers. I'm learning this method. I'm adding this thing. I'm starting to study in this way. My Bible study has evolved over the years greatly. The way that I study God's Word has changed as I've learned, as I've gained more skill, and as I've understood more about the Bible, but also understood more about me and the kinds of things I like to look up and the kinds of things that really speak to me. Your Bible study should evolve and grow and change as you do. And as God speaks to you, I think in His Word, you're going to find that there's a desire that builds in you for more of it. And that's when you begin to add more in. So start small and be consistent and see where it takes you. I think that the best thing I could tell you when it comes to Bible study is that you can do it. It's not as difficult like everyone thinks it is. It does take discipline. It does take time. It does take consistency. Yes, it takes practice. But these things are not to be, they're not to be feared. Those are all good things in life. And you can do this. And you'll be surprised when you do how God's Word opens up to you and how you begin to see life differently because of the insight that you're gaining from His Word, and how the problems in your life seem more manageable because it's you and God together and you're working on it together. You're in His Word. He's giving you direction. And then in turn, you're following up with the application part and you're living your life in light of what God has said to you in the Word. So get started. Your assignment for this week is to choose any method or framework from level 1, level 2, or level 3 guides and give it a try for 1 week. Don't try to do it perfectly or stress out over the right or wrong. Just spend some time each day practicing whatever method appeals to you. If you feel that it's helped you to study after 7 days, then keep going and keep studying. If you're struggling, stop and try a different method and see if that makes a difference. I think that if you're willing to course correct, if you're willing to tweak it as you go, if you're willing to be patient with yourself and realize that the practice is the important part, not just coming up with that great insight at the end, but actually being willing to practice it and being willing to have those moments that are a little dry or that you don't quite get it and working through it until the moment that you do. I think you'll find that Bible study is something that not only is doable, but it's enjoyable. And I want that for you very much. So give it a try this week and come back next week for our Gracebook series continuation, as we will talk a little bit about Bible reading and reading slowly. We are going to just very briefly talk about a process where you can really interact in prayer with Scripture and praying the Scriptures. And we'll talk a little bit about Bible reading plans and some apps that can give you some good plans to keep you on track. So we'll see you back next time at the podcast, and I hope that God blesses your day. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.